Welcome back. Well, South Africa and Namibia's weak economies may have dampened growth in Sanlam's key performance indicators, but the insurer still managed to post a 10% rise in first half earnings, with its emerging markets division offsetting softer contributions from Sanlam Personal Finance and the investment group. The company aims to increase its direct black shareholding in the business via an equity issuance to fund its multi-billion rand buyout of Saham Finances. And Ian Kirk, CEO of Sanlam, joins us in studio now for some perspective on the earnings and what it means for the direction of the company moving forward. Ian, thanks so much for joining us this evening. While South Africa remains the center of business for Sanlam, the strain of the economic climate is putting on earnings underlines just how important your profile, I guess, across geographies is becoming. And the strong growth in Sanlam emerging markets certainly stands as testament to that. With that, how important does Saham, which is a Pan-African markets business, become within your stable?
Well, you know, we've announced the third phase of the deal, which would take us to 100%. It obviously becomes very significant from a financial point of view. And also from a capability point of view, it is the second largest insurer on the continent, short-term insurer after Santam, and it's in 19 countries, and it's very significant. You know, if there was only one Saham, and now there's only one Sanlam.
Absolutely.
In terms of that footprint.
You've already raised, what, 5.5 billion rand in an accelerated book build at the end of March. You're set to issue a further 5% of new shares in an empowerment vehicle to further build those funds. Is that the extent to which you will be coming to the market?
Yeah, that is it, yeah. It's actually the first time we've come to the market in 20 years. And it's the first opportunity we've had to raise capital. And therefore, that's really why we want to, and it's the only foreseeable one, that we can see something in going forward. So the opportunity now to do the 5% BEE deal as opposed to a straight capital raise is quite attractive for us, because, you know, if we can get our black direct shareholding up above the current 14%, close to 19%, mm-hmm. we think that's strategically very important.
Let's talk
as
about
well
that
as raising the capital, obviously.
Let's talk about that strategy a little bit. I mean, how much added benefit are you expected to derive from that greater BEE standing?
Well, we've done some calculations in the institutional business, you know, with the asset management, with the employee benefits, with the healthcare. So we've done some calculations as to see what it can bring us. It makes us more competitive in those areas, and that's those are competitive positions. So if we can improve our empowerment status, we think it'll help us.
I ask the question because where we've had improved investor confidence to an extent, albeit temporarily, it's not yet reflecting in any increased allocation of institutional mandates. And you know, your below benchmark performance also contributed to net inflows overall. So, you know, what's your sense of sentiment right now, and where funds are actually being directed?
Yeah, I think performance is important, obviously, as is the positioning of the business. So institutional mandates, as you've said, there hasn't been much change over the 6 month period, and therefore it's been a bit soft for us. But last year we did well, and we think, you know, if we can reposition, if it'll all assist. It's very difficult. It's a very competitive market, and we need to position ourselves appropriately in asset management as well as employee benefits. Employee benefits, obviously, there are less players than in asset management, but the same issues we face there as well.
I picked up something interesting in your commentary. You say, you highlight that your portfolios were not well positioned for the run in the South African market post the political changes at the end of 2017. What are some of the major lessons you've learned out of that? Because agility is the name of the game, and you know, making a statement like that certainly brings that into question.
Yeah, well, that position that we held worked very well for us of late. In the second quarter, our investment performance was strongly up. So we were over-positioned on Rand hedges going into the December ANC elective conference, like a number of other players. And for the first, you know, through the Ramaphosa period, that worked against us in performance terms. But it came back strongly in the second quarter, and in fact now, as you've seen in the last 2 months, it's really worked well for us, so the performance has gone up quite nicely.
You talk about exposure to Rand hedges, but also a larger than benchmark exposure to Steinhoff in 2017 and that burning.
Yeah, no, in the life company, we had benchmark performance, which certainly hurt. It was really only in the private wealth portfolios where they were above benchmark. So we were actually slightly below benchmark in the life company. coming up to that disastrous situation in December.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I mean, it's active management. So, I mean, like everybody else, I suppose we got that one wrong. We didn't see some of the drama that has played out there. It's unfortunate, but, you know, that I think there are lessons.
Absolutely. With those lessons coming, I mean, what kind of shift has it triggered when it comes to approach to markets, if any at all, or is this just the name of the game?
No, I think, well, yeah, I think one must look strongly internally, and this is what we asked the folks to do, which they did. They relooked at all the positions, and they, you know, I think there is a learning from that, and some of the positions we certainly changed, and I think you get better through these type of experiences.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as you say, it was a big stock. It was a top 10 stock, so everyone was positioned in it largely.
Focus, you say, remains on addressing a few areas within the wider group that failed to deliver target in the first 6 months, and the plan is to get them back on track in the financial year. Where exactly are you directing bulk of your focus?
Well, the areas of underperformance, they weren't big in the overall numbers side, but you know, we think we could have done better in the life insurance mm-hmm. business in Kenya, in Uganda, in the life business, in Tanzania, in the general business, and in Zambia, in the life business. Now, that's four businesses we've picked out, obviously, of 200 businesses, but we still think we could have done better them, and particularly in Kenya, which is strategically very important, so we must lift our game there. The other ones are not quite so important because they're not big markets in the greater scheme of things. But Kenya, we really need to get right.
Absolutely. Well, Saham will be taking a lot of your attention as well. Any plans to dabble in the banking arena anytime soon?
No, look, Sanlam, we've positioned ourselves deliberately to partner banks. We partner all of the major banks and now
Capitec,
some of the new
ones.
Capitec is one of them now, a new one, which is a great opportunity for us. But we've positioned ourselves that way. You know, I mean, going back over the years, if I look at our sort of strong position in ABSA, we actually get more business from ABSA today than when we had that strong shareholding position. So we've deliberately positioned ourselves to support the banks, and obviously that support applies into the African continent as well. So, you know, it's not really in our interest to announce any sort of banking moves ourselves. There are a few banking products that we offer with our partners, mm-hmm. and we'll continue to look at that, but we won't do it ourselves. There's one other thing that I think is relevant that maybe hasn't been spoken about as much in that, and that is the ability to attract top talent. You know, one of the reasons we've had success in Sanlam on an absolute and a relative basis is we've had the door open to top talent, and we've been able to attract talent. I'm not sure that we'll be able to do that in the banking areas. I'm not sure all the top bankers will leave their current employment to join Sanlam and do banking. So that is also a concern to me, you know, as to whether we should really be doing the business. You know, I know for a fact that's one of the reasons of our success on the insurances side.
Yeah.
So I don't have that same confidence on banking.
Well, we'll have to see how the likes of a Discovery and Old Mutual get that right. Ian, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. That, of course, Ian Kirk, CEO of Sanlam.